This morning, I'd like to share with you all some thoughts that I have had from the seventh chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. And I'd like to notice with you in particular verse 21. Paul would say, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's a very interesting verse. When I would do good. And I hope everybody in the house today wants to do good. You want to live right. You want to be a good person. But the apostle says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now that verse is describing a warfare that goes on in the lives of God's children who have been born again. It describes the two natures that we have to deal with. You know, in the new year, a lot of people make resolutions. I've made a lot of them through the years and sadly didn't keep a lot of them. But I would say a good resolution for all of us today to make is that I'm going to try, with God's help, to crucify the old nature and try to live a good life on this earth. That's a good attitude for all of us to have. Paul would describe the old nature, and by the way, we're all born with a sinful nature. You're born with it. Your parents don't give it to you a year or two after you're born. You're just born with a sinful nature. The Bible teaches that. But when you are born again by the Holy Spirit, you are given a new nature. And the Bible calls these two natures the old man and the new man. Now, I didn't make those words up. They're found in Paul's letter to the Colossians chapter 3. And let's begin reading in verse 5. Colossians 3 and 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. And that word concupiscence just means strong desire. And here Paul says that we are to mortify evil desires that are very strong in our fallen and sinful nature, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, evil communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now that term old man is not talking about people my age. I'm an old man, but the text is talking about our old nature, our sinful nature. Has anybody got one? I see a few of you acknowledging it, but I know you've all got it. You've all got that old nature, that old man. And so he says that we are to put off the old man with his deeds and to put on the new man. That is the new nature that God has given us when we're born of the Holy Spirit, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So throughout Paul's letters, whether you're reading Romans or Corinthians or Galatians or Ephesians or Colossians or his letters to Timothy and Titus, he is constantly talking about the warfare that goes on in the lives of God's children. That's a frequent theme in the writings of the Apostle Paul. And he acknowledges right here in Romans 7 that it's going on within him. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You know, it's a temptation for us today to put these apostles in a different category than we are in and just think that they were almost sinless. They were almost perfect. But I can tell you, they weren't. They struggled with the old sinful nature just as much as you and I do today. And Paul in Romans chapter 7 really does elaborate on this warfare that goes on between the old nature that wants to do evil and the new nature that wants to do good. And it's a warfare that goes on all the time. I was born with that sinful nature. You were born with it. And you know what? As long as we live on this earth, we're going to have to struggle with that old sinful nature. You may win the battle today, and I hope you do, and I hope I do, but we're going to have to fight that same warfare tomorrow. Paul said, I die daily. What did he mean by that? I think what he was saying was, I have to die to my old sinful nature every day. I would like to be able to tell you all this morning that by the time you get to be 77 years old, y'all will be free from your old sinful nature. And it's just going to be easy sailing from here on out. When I was young, I know some of y'all find it hard to believe I was ever young, but I was. And when I was about 15 or 16, I'd look at these old gray-headed people in the church, and I would kind of envy them and think, I look forward to the day when I get on up there in years, and I won't have to deal with this old sinful nature so much. Any old person in the house can witness to that. These kids can't get it, but surely some of the old folks here this morning, I see a hand go up back there. Let me tell you, sadly, I'm having to fight the sinful nature as much today as I was when I was 15 years old. It's there, and it will remain there as long as I live. And it's going to be in your nature as long as you live. And it's called in the Bible spiritual warfare. We know about warfare in nature. We've all heard about, you know, World War I, World War II. We have loved ones that fought in those wars. Warfare is something we know a little about in the natural realm. But I want to tell you, you and I are fighting a spiritual war every day. It goes on all the time. And so Paul says here in verse 21 of Romans 7, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So what's he going to do? Is he going to go ahead and do the good, or is he going to give in to the evil? Now that's a choice that all of us have to make on our journey through this old world. We have to hopefully put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man and walk in righteousness on the face of this earth. Now you say, well, Brother Sam, what can I do to fight this old nature? Well, I want to look with you all now in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, where the great Apostle Paul, we love him, I adore him. And if we're allowed in heaven to go around and speak to the saints of God that have lived before us, I can tell you, I'd want to go to this beloved apostle and shake his hand and thank him for the books that he wrote in Scripture and for the life he lived after God dealt with him on the Damascus Road. Yes, sir. I love the Apostle Paul. But listen to what he says here in verse 24 about himself. Oh, wretched man that I was. Somebody said no. That's not what he said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Present tense. What Paul is saying is this. He was still, in his old nature, a wretched man. I've shared this, I'm sure, with you all in the past, but one Sunday morning I was watching a religious program on TV, and this lady with a beautiful voice was singing Amazing Grace. But she had a new version. She said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. That got my attention. And I wondered why she would change the word wretched to the word soul. And finally the pastor came out and explained. He said, we love Amazing Grace, but we think that word wretched is too demeaning to us. So we changed the word from wretched to soul. Well, I want to tell you, beloved, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, knew he was a wretched sinner. How many in the house today know that in your sinful nature, you and I are wretched? Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, here is our beloved apostle, caught up to the third heaven at one time, saw things not even lawful for him to talk about when he came back to this earth. He saw heaven in its glory, whether in his body or out of the body, he didn't know. And that tells us there's more to us than these mortal bodies. But I want to tell you, even though he had such revelations, he was given a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. Why? Lest he be exalted above measure because of the revelations. You know, if God took me to heaven one day and blessed me to see heaven and come back, I'd probably have a big head. I think you poor sinners, y'all haven't seen it yet. But you see, God gave him a thorn in the flesh that buffeted him. And we don't know what that thorn was. I had a very interesting conversation with Nelda's son, Aaron, when we were in Arkansas. Aaron was in combat in Iraq, and he knows that in combat, he kills some men. And that has tormented him in his mind. Brother Stephen Littleton from Grace Church is still dealing today with post-traumatic stress that he experienced when he was in combat. My nephew, Ben, struggles to this day with what he had to do as an Army Ranger in combat. And Aaron was telling me, he said, Sam, he said, I've wondered about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And none of us know what it was. Was it poor eyesight? Was it some physical infirmity? Or was it his memory of the past when he helped to put to death a deacon in the church by the name of Stephen? He held the garments of those men who stoned Stephen to death. Can you imagine living with that memory? You stood there when one of God's servants, innocent of any crime except preaching Jesus, is stoned to death. Stoning would be a horrible way to die. It would take a while for a person to die during stoning. And Paul consented to that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against women, men, and children. He was a monster until God's grace got a hold of him and changed him on the Damascus Road. I want to tell you all about a God this morning that can change great sinners. Y'all agree with that? You and I may work with them for years and make no difference. God can change them, and he did. And Aaron was saying to me, he said, Sam, I'm wondering if that thorn in his flesh was the memory he had of killing men. And I told Aaron, I said, look, Aaron, when our soldiers are in combat and they're fighting, that's not murder. When David met Goliath, the great giant, y'all remember that? And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? And with great faith and a great God, with a slingshot, he went out there with one stone. He rocked him to sleep. You remember he planted that stone right there and that old Goliath fell dead. Now that was not murder. That was warfare. Are y'all listening? Warfare is a lot different than you going out here and just deliberately killing somebody. All killing is not murder. And I tried to comfort Aaron and letting him know, listen, what you did in defense of our nation and fighting our enemies, that was not murder. That was a noble thing. We ought to honor our veterans. Would you all agree with that today? How many of you ever salute a veteran? I tell you, when I see them, I saw one the other day, a World War II veteran. Now, that's going way back. There are not many of them left, but I had to salute him. That's why you and I have freedom today, beloved. Freedom is not free. It cost, incredible cost. And so the Apostle Paul, but he did wrong. Goodness, he did wrong. God had mercy on his soul and blessed him to overcome that. Now, this morning, I want to review with you what our beloved apostle would teach us as we endeavor to fight this old sinful nature that we deal with. And you know, every war has got to have a battlefield. You can't have a war without a battlefield. Well, where is the battlefield for spiritual warfare? It's right here in our mind. Satan has access to our thought life, and he comes against us and tries to plant all kinds of thoughts in our minds that are unhealthy and ungodly and anti-Christian. And you and I need to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to say this morning, the first thing that you and I need to do as we're fighting this spiritual war is to know as much about Jesus as we can. You and I need to know as much about our Lord Jesus Christ as we can possibly know. Brother David's sermon New Year's Eve was, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David, whose own men had turned against him and were ready to stone him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now look what Paul would say here in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He didn't say what will deliver me, but it's who will deliver me. If you're fighting the good fight of faith, let me tell you, the next book you read is not going to help you. The next seminar you go to is not going to help you. The next pill you take is not going to help you. You know what's going to help you and me? Knowing Jesus and getting as close to him as we possibly can. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I can tell you, it's not your pastor, it's not your spouse, it's not your parents or your children. It's not your government. You know who's going to help us in this spiritual warfare? It's Jesus Christ. And you and I need to know as much about him as we possibly can. I remember what the Apostle Paul, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Eternal life? No, that's a gift that you don't come to Jesus for. He gives it to you sovereignly and freely. But if you're burdened down in life, you need to come to him to find rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Listen, these hymns, did y'all notice this morning? Every song we sung was about him. This is hymn book. We call it the hymn book, H-Y-M-N, but it's H-I-M. It's all about him. Did y'all notice that as we were singing these songs? There wasn't a song in there about the president. There wasn't a song in there about Sam. I've asked this question a lot of times, and I've seen people get sick almost when I would say, how would y'all like to sing How Great Sam Is? And people get nauseated. No, sir, it's not about your mama. It's not about your daddy. It's not about you. It's about him. And I want to tell you, you and I need to sing these old hymns. And we need to not just notice the music and the four-part harmony. We need to hear the message. The message of these hymns. Like Amazing Grace. That third verse has been an anchor to my soul for many years. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Brother, there's a message in those hymns. It's all right to listen to a little secular music once in a while, but I want to tell you, you and I need to be listening and singing these old hymns that are all about him. And let me tell you something else. You and I need to be reading the Holy Scriptures. I listened to the first 19 chapters of Genesis the other morning, and I can tell you it just fed my soul. I felt a peace just in being in the Word. This is supposed to be a land of open Bibles, but I can tell you, Sadly, so many of God's regenerate children seldom ever read any in the Scriptures. Oh, beloved friends, it's all about him. It's his story. And you and I need to be reading in Scripture on a regular basis. Yes, sir, deepen our knowledge of Jesus Christ and our love for him. And that'll help us in this spiritual warfare. And I can tell you another thing that'll help us in our spiritual warfare, and that is stop believing the lies that Satan tells us. You know, the Bible says he's the father of lies. He lies to us. And you and I need to stop believing his lies. He'll get in our heads and have us thinking somebody's against us when maybe they're not. And even if they are, Jesus can take care of it. Amen? How many of y'all are good at vengeance? None of you. None of us. We might have tried it, but I want to tell you, vengeance is his. It belongs to him. And if somebody's on your case, just commit them to the Lord and pray for them. And ask God to have mercy on them, because you know he's had a lot of mercy on you and me. How unbecoming it would be for me to look down on somebody when I know God's already had so much mercy on me. Are y'all with me this morning? Stop listening to Satan's lies. You know, he'll have us in our heads thinking, my problem is not really a problem. Yeah, I drink a little, but it's not a problem. I want to tell you, drinking can get to be out, it can be out of hand. It can take over your life. It can. It has destroyed many lives in this world. And I've said it, I don't know how many times I've said it, but I hope to live to say it a lot more. There's no problem you've got in your life that alcohol can't make worse. Drugs, same way. All these, I don't know a lot about what's going on down in Venezuela. I want to pray for our president and our country, and I hope what they're doing is noble and right, and if he's going to stop that flow of illegal drugs into America, I applaud him. What about y'all? Because I want to tell you, that stuff is destroying so many people. I could keep y'all here till sundown
telling y'all about people
I know personally whose lives have been sabotaged by street drugs, illegal drugs, and even legal drugs. Oh, my friends, don't listen to Satan's lies that, you know, a little alcohol is not going to hurt me, or greed, or jealousy, or lust. Those are self-destructive thoughts coming from Satan. How many of y'all ever struggle with a little jealousy or a little greed, and you just want more and more and more and more and more and more of what you've already got enough of? And then a third thing that'll help us in our spiritual warfare is confess our faults one to another. You know, beloved, confession of our sins is a good thing. If you've wronged somebody and you know you've wronged them, just go to them and say, "I'm sorry." Boy, that just frees your soul. The Bible, and we need to confess our sins to God. John said, if we confess our sins, not if we hide our sins, or if we blame others, or if we make excuses. You know, Benjamin Franklin said one time, those that are good at making excuses aren't good at doing anything else. Don't excuse your sins or your shortcomings. Just confess them. If we confess our sins, don't blame your mama, your daddy. I heard an excellent psychiatrist many years ago say that, and he had seen dozens and dozens of people, and most of them were blaming their mama for all their problems. Now, I can tell you, mama, there ain't no perfect mamas on earth. Amen? Mine wasn't. She was a good one, but she wasn't perfect. But I want to tell you right now, you're not going to get anywhere by blaming your mama, your daddy, or anybody else. The best thing to do is just confess your sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Romans chapter 7, if you're familiar with it, it is a picture of a struggling child of God trying to live a good life and really feeling like they're failing. And he ends with saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he answers it, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's learn all we can about him. Now, chapter 8 is a picture of a victorious child of God. Did you know the word Spirit is only mentioned one time in Romans 7? It's mentioned 20 times in the 8th chapter of Romans. It is a victorious chapter. It starts out with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation from God's love. Now, what that tells me is what Sam Bryant needs is the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me. I do. How about y'all? How many of y'all? Now, let me tell you, if you pray, Jesus said in John 17, "If I go away, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send the Comforter." Now, the Comforter is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And I just want to say to everybody in the house today, you and I desperately need the influence, the strength, the power, the comfort of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Acts, the Bible says, Jesus said, "I want y'all to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And he wasn't talking about physical power or military power. He was talking about spirit power. The Spirit of God would empower them to face all the problems of those early centuries and serve God. And that's what you and I need this morning. Paul said, in his letter to the Ephesians, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with" what? "The Holy Spirit." See, a lot of people deal with life's problems with alcohol. And let me tell you, a lot of our soldiers got on it when they were in war, trying to deal with the stresses of battle. But let me tell you, beloved friends, Paul says, "Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Oh, they'll advertise it and make it sound like it's the greatest thing in the world. But let me tell you, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't come under its influence. Don't let alcohol take over your mind. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He's not saying you can't have a glass of wine with a bowl of spaghetti if you want it, if you're not given to it. Now, if you recognize you're given to it, you better stay away, because one drink, one drunk with the alcoholic. I had a brother who was an alcoholic, and he, one time in preaching, I was calling him alcoholics. He said, Sam, don't call us alcoholics, call us drunks. That's what the Bible calls us. And he was right. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do far more for you than all the alcohol. You know, right now, I think we've got 2 whiskey stores now in Cochran. 2 years ago, I don't think we had any. Now we got 2, and I think they're building another one. So if y'all want to get drunk, you come on down to Cochran. They'll have it for you. They won't give it to you, but I can tell you, it's not going to help you any. Are y'all listening? Be not drunk with wine. Why do people drink? To feel happy, to fill up, you know, a happy hour, they call it. 5 to 7. I've asked this question. Why you want to 5 o'clock to get happy? I want to wake up happy in the morning. How about y'all? And let me tell you, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you will wake up happy in the morning. You're just ready to get up and get on with the day. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. Happy hour, that's a joke. That's a lie. That's one of Satan's lies. Are y'all listening? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here are 3 evidences somebody's filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing. Making melody in their hearts to the Lord. You say, Brother Sam, I can't sing, but I bet you try to sing in the shower. I can sing driving down the highway. How about y'all? When you're full of the Spirit of God, you want to sing praises to His name. And then, he says, let's see. Here are 3 evidences of a person filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Somebody full of the Holy Spirit's not complaining. They're not belly aching. They're not complaining. I don't care how hard life is. You're not going to hear them complaining. They're going to be giving thanks. How many of y'all are full of the Holy Spirit? Giving thanks always. This week, something came up about an old Elder Goodman in Alabama. I was preaching over there many years ago, and the pastor said, Brother Sam, would you go with me to visit old Elder Goodman? He's disabled. He's in his home and can't go to church anymore. Would you go with me to visit him? Well, I love preachers. My daddy was a preacher. I had 3 brothers that are preachers. I love preachers. I said, sure, I'll go with you to visit Elder Goodman. We got to Brother Goodman's house, and the grass needed cutting. And there was a wheelchair ramp going up to this old house that needed paint. We got in the house, and Brother Goodman was sitting there in a wheelchair. Are y'all getting this? Sitting in a wheelchair, both legs amputated. I'm telling y'all about something I experienced. I didn't read this in the book. I experienced it. And when we got in there, you know, I felt so sorry for that old man. Goodness gracious, I felt sorry for him when I first saw him. But let me tell you, it wasn't long before I was happy for him. He had a TV tray right by the side of that wheelchair, and he had an open Bible. And he just started talking to us about God's goodness to him. And he said, Brother Brian, he said, my left arm is paralyzed, but my right arm, I can still shave myself. My wife doesn't have to shave me, and I can bathe myself. And he just talked about God's goodness Not one complaint. That man was full of the Holy Spirit. Giving thanks always. I saw it. I witnessed it. I've seen it a lot through the years. From here to California, I've visited with the saints of God that have had lots of troubles and trials, but look out. They're just praising God. I want to tell you, so I have been to some of the poorest nations in this world. I've been to 4 countries in Africa. I have been with some of the poorest people on this planet. And I've seen in them more happiness than I've seen in rich people that I know right here in the United States of America. Happiness is not going to come from money and more money and more and more and more and more. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with it. You need it when you go to the gas station or Walmart. But I want to tell you, it's not going to make you happy. The Holy Spirit will. It'll just fool you. And then the third evidence of a Spirit-filled life is that you're submitted. You're submissive one to another. See, somebody full of the Holy Spirit, you can get along with them. If they're in the flesh, it's going to be hard to have any peace. But when they're full of the Holy Spirit, they're submissive. You want to sing number 2 and I want to sing number 4, let's sing number 2. See, the Holy Spirit just helps us. Would y'all agree with me this morning that the United States of America just needs an ocean full of the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you, we are living in a broken, troubled, dying world. And you don't have to leave Middle Georgia to find it. But you and I don't have to be broken and miserable. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit or to quench the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit by doing things you know that are contrary to Him. And listen, somebody asked me recently, Brother Brian, what does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? I said, let me ask you, has one of your children ever grieved you by doing something that you knew they shouldn't do? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's how your father feels when you and I disobey him. Are y'all listening? How many of y'all want to grieve your father in heaven? I don't. He has blessed me beyond measure all the days of my life and gave his son to die for me on a Roman cross. I want to please him. My prayer is, God, help me to live the life you want me to live. Not the life my flesh wants me to live. I need to crucify that old flesh and walk in the Spirit. Now, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, and we don't want to quench it. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you and giving you an unction to pray, don't quench that. Go pray. Get close to God in prayer. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to visit somebody that's sick and maybe give them a little gift, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. Aren't y'all glad that when Jesus left, he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. That's what Cool Springs Church desperately needs. All of our churches need it. We need to be filled with the Holy. We need to sing in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit. And when we go out in the dining room, we need to go out there and love one another in the Spirit. You know, I appreciate the church having meals on Sunday. That's a good thing to do. That's Christian hospitality. We don't have a Cracker Barrel 2 miles down the road. We don't even have a McDonald's. But we do try to provide a meal for our visitors when they can stay and share with us. And let's do that in the love of the Holy Spirit. Beloved friends, y'all gonna have to be fighting this battle in the morning, wherever you go to school or work or wherever. Satan, the flesh, the devil, the world's going to be right there. But you just tell them, I'm one of God's children. I've put on the whole armor of God, and the Holy Spirit is with me and helping me. Thank you. Well, let's pray at this time. Our Heavenly Father, as we face this new year, we ask you to help us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, that we might sing your praises and give thanks always and be submissive one to another. Heavenly Father, help us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. We ask you to watch over this church here at Cool Springs, its members and its friends. Heavenly Father, help us as a church to be a city set on a hill whose light cannot be hid. Help us, Father, to honor you in these mortal bodies as long as we live. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.